Lieutenant Haro Onoda finally handed over his rusty sword and became the last Japanese soldier to surrender. Onoda had been sent to the tropical island of Lubang in the Philippines in 1944 with orders to conduct guerrilla warfare and prevent enemy attack on the island. When the war ended, Onoda refused to relieve the messages announcing Japan's surrender. For 29 years, long after all his fellow soldiers had either surrendered or been killed off, Onoda continued defending the island territory for the defeated Japanese army. He hid in the jungle, living off the land, stealing food and supplies from local citizens, evading one search party after another, and killing at least 30 nationals in the process. Hundreds of thousands of dollars were spent trying to locate the lone holdout and convince him that the war was over. Leaflets, newspapers, photographs, and letters from friends were dropped in the jungle. Announcements were made over loudspeakers begging Onoda to surrender. Still, he refused to give up his fight. Some 13,000 men had been deployed in the effort before Onoda finally received a personal command from his former commander and was persuaded to give up the futile, solitary war he had waged for so many years. In his autobiography entitled No Surrender, My 30-Year War, Onoda describes the moment of reality of what transpired began to sink in. He says this, "I felt like a fool. What had I been doing for all these years? For the first time, I really understood this was the end. I pulled back the bolt on my rifle and unloaded the bullets. I eased off the backpack that I always carried with me and laid the gun on top of it. The war for Onoda was finally over." Are we resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight? Things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. How many of you have ever made New Year's resolutions? How they work? They last till February? Many have been the New Year's resolutions that have sputtered out by February. The question of why is the question that needed answered. God's people are a people of resolve and resolution. Our will never overcome passions and fleshly appetite to make a successful resolution. We need to resolve, and we need divine enablement. The story we just read of Onoda, he didn't give up his resolve until his commander said so. And today I would like to apply that to you following God and doing what he says. Our society is moving away from absolute standards of resolve and moving into relative thinking. We believe anything. Anything that comes down the street, our society in believes. And we choose to believe that, and it's chaos. But to resolve something is a firm decision, an irrevocable decision. Irrevocable means it's like it's something that happened yesterday. It doesn't change. It has no possibility of changing. That's an irrevocable decision. And that's what I'm calling for today, is an irrevocable resolution, New Year's resolution, to follow God. And I'm especially speaking to you youth today. Youth with resolve. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. We make resolutions. We determine. In fact, there are no successful real Christians without the resolve. The cause is twofold. We must leave Egypt and the idol of self, Egypt being a type of the world. David said, is there not a cause? Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees, in Ephesians 3. I would like you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to talk about Moses for a little while this morning and his resolve and some resolutions that he made that guided him through life. I feel that, you know, Moses was a great man, a great leader, but Moses was just a man. And we need to see some things that he did, notice some things that he did that helped him with his resolve. Verse 23 says that by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that when he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Can you imagine that? We're not going to kill Moses. No way. Imagine that's the kind of home he grew up in. We're not afraid of the king's commandment. We'll take whatever he wants to give us, the king. And then in 24 it says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I heard that as a memory verse this morning here somewhere. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. What made Moses tick? And here we have it. It's a nugget of truth in a long story of Moses. Moses wrote a lot of the Old Testament, and he was a renowned leader. And we have these nuggets of truth here with the story of Moses, and we want to focus on the verbs here in this passage of Scripture as we go along this morning. But I'm challenging you youth especially to reach a firm decision. Every man or woman of God has made a resolve to do what is right, and they are, that it is an irrevocable decision. I know there's times when we fail, and we fail with our resolve, but let's just notice some young people who made resolve, had resolve. We think of it, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And, you know, and they said to the king, and all those people standing there, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee. Listen, the king, telling them that. We're not careful to answer you. We're not going to do what you say. That's basically what they said. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, unto thee, O king, that we will know, be it known to thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You know, they could have, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have said, well, let's just, we'll fall down, we'll bow down like everybody else, but we just won't pray. Wouldn't have that been a compromise like maybe we come up with? Yeah, we just fall down and we'll look like everybody else, but we just won't pray. We won't worship. We will not serve thy God nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. There was no partial. There was no gray area. It was complete. A complete resolve not to enter into an idolatrous relationship with another God. And I'm asking you this morning, I know this is simple, but it is so real. So many of us worship, you know, the pickups and the dress material and hairstyles and all those. There was, you know, who are we worshiping? Joseph was another one. He had the chance to take, you know, to indulge in pleasure with Potiphar's wife. And he said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Resolve. Joseph could have did it, and he could have got away with it. No one was there. Joshua, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I am determined. He could have sang the song that we sang, I am resolved no longer to linger. I won't serve the gods of the other side, the gods of the Amorites and so forth. Ruth said to Naomi, our father, mother-in-law, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following thee after there. Whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. And when Naomi saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left off speaking unto her. That's the kind of resolves, dear sisters, that it takes to make it. Nothing less. Nothing less. The Apostle Paul said, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that I have committed unto him against that day. I am persuaded. This morning, you young fellows, are you persuaded? Are you faltering between two opinions? Elisha said, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" There's the one way that's the right way, and there's the other way that's the wrong way. Don't stand here lollygagging around. Choose. And this morning, I'm asking everyone here, within the sound of my voice, to choose. To choose. It's so important that we choose. Let's go to our text now. Verse 24, Hebrews 11, 24, says, "By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." Imagine that conversation. You young fellows, you know, how would this go? This woman had brought you up. She had saw you through school. You had lived in the court of a king. You had every privilege that was available to Egypt. You had the universities. You had the technology. And then one day, Moses goes up to her and said, "You know what? I'm really sorry to tell you this, but I'm going with the people of God. I'm not going to be called your son anymore." Imagine that. His adoptive mother saying, "Now, I've changed course in my life. And all this stuff, I'm turning my back on it. And I'm going to go live with the people of God, those nomadic strangers from over there in the land of Canaan. And I'm committed to go with you." And I can see her reply. "Oh, Moses, come on. You were taught in the best schools. We gave you everything. You had all the chances this Egypt and the culture has to offer. And you're turning your back on this?" And Moses says, "No, I have resolved to live and die with my parents, Amram and Jochebed." I am resolved to die with the people of God, no matter how serious it gets. I am refusing to be called your son. Imagine that, young fellows, that kind of a conversation. It was this Moses refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter was the end of self-life for Moses. The end of the easy life. He was dead to the world. He was dead to sin. Death to self is a must. It must be resolved to not sin and to experience a life of victory over sin. Death must happen. Moses' life as the son of Pharaoh's daughter was over, and he refused even to be called her son. My dear youth, have you made that kind of a commitment? Say no to the world and yes to God. Have you surrendered your possessions? Have you surrendered your body and its passions? You know, your body is bought with a price. It says over in the New Testament, it's hinted at in many places in the Old, glorify God with your body. Until a person comes to this crucial spot in his life, that I'm sold out to the kingdom, your New Year's resolutions will only be your will against your lust, and usually your lust will win. The clothes you wear, what are they saying? Egypt or self? Are you regarding Egypt in the things you wear? What about your courtship behavior? Is your body glorifying God and your spirit, like it says in 1 Corinthians 6:19? The Bible said, Jesus said, for whoso looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. To look at a woman to lust after her is adultery. To touch a woman also can be included as a dynamic that leads to mind adultery. Dear ones, I'm asking you to die to self and to live for the glory of God. Resolution number two. Resolution number two is verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Dear ones, I want to be very clear this morning and very honest with you. To be a Christian is to suffer affliction. The Christian life is one of affliction. We don't think about it so much here. In the United States, we have very pleasant circumstances. I will admit that. But I was reading The Voice of the Martyrs here recently. And I was reading about how Christians in North Korea are being persecuted. And a Christian in North Korea is martyred for treason. Because when they pray over there, you are to pray to the emperor of North Korea. And when a Christian prays, he can't pray to the emperor of North Korea. He prays to God. And if anyone hears him praying to God, he is guilty of treason, and they kill him. Imagine that. And there's many that have given their lives. And I think, you know, as they pray and they say yes to God, then they're guilty. And they expect the executioner to come. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. The reality is that we choose to follow Jesus and to suffer affliction. That's part of it. Let's be honest with Christian life. Number three, resolution number three for Moses was verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the rest, the recompense of my reward. Following Christ to Moses was not a reformed version of Egyptian culture, but it was a radical transformation into a different life. And he esteemed the reproach of Christ. Esteemed, he held it highly. Dear ones, today, he didn't treat Christ. Now, he lived before Christ, but I definitely think he's what Hebrews writer definitely is implying, that he knew about Christ and Christ's coming. To Moses, Christ was not like a set of clothes, but at taking on the indwelling nature of God, nature of Christ. He was following him to the cross. He was dying with him, and he esteemed that. That was his resolution, to esteem that. Jesus said, if you are of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. We might as well get it straight right from the get-go that the serving Christ is not an easy road. There are things that are greater than the treasures of this world. I ran across a quote from Steve Jobs, who was Apple computer fame, and he designed and was a very brilliant man. And he died of cancer at an early age. He wrote this on his deathbed, and I just want to read it to you. Steve Jobs said, I reached the pinnacle of success in the business world. In others' eyes, my life is the epitome of success. However, aside from work, I have little joy in the end. My wealth is only a fact of life that I'm accustomed to. At this moment, lying on my bed and recalling my life, I realize that all recognition and wealth that I took so much pride in have paled and become meaningless in the face of my death. You can employ someone to drive the car for you, make money for you, but you cannot have someone bear your sickness for you. Material things lost can be found or replaced, but there is one thing that never can be found when it is lost, and that is life. Whichever stage in life you're in right now, with time you will face the day when the curtain falls. Treasure love for your family, love for your spouse, love for your friends. Treat yourself well and cherish others. As we grow older and hopefully wiser, we realize that a $3,000 or a $30 watch tell both the same time. You will realize that your true happiness does not come from the material things of this world. Whether you fly first class or economy, or if the plane goes down, you go down with it. Therefore, I hope you realize you have mates, buddies, and old friends, brothers and sisters, who you chat with, laugh with, talk with, sing with, talk about north, south, east, and west, or heaven and earth. That is true happiness. Don't educate your children to be rich. Educate them to be happy. So when they grow up, they will know the value of things, not the price. That's Steve Jobs' testimony on his deathbed. He realized that there were many things that were more valuable than money. Resolve number 4. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Moses forsook Egypt. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. To be separated from the culture and the world takes an intentional effort. Imagine that day that they forsook Egypt. It says in the Bible, and I believe it's in Exodus 14, 13 or 14. It says, Pharaoh followed hard after him, after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel cried out. And Moses said, I believe he lifted up his hand and he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Imagine that. The most advanced army in the world roaring towards the people of God and the Red Sea in front. And Moses just stands up and said, stand still. Stand still. Don't go anywhere. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And what happened there. Resolution number 5. By faith, he kept the Passover. Worship was vital to Moses. And I'm asking you young folks and everybody here, old or young, to make worship vital. Bible reading, prayer, church attendance. Through faith, he kept the Passover. Moses was a man that many sermons have been preached about. But I was impressed recently in my devotions how that Moses had a couple little things. Like he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer with the people of God. Every circumstance is an opportunity to choose between God's answers or the world's answers. And I'm urging you today to choose God. Resolve comes through a sense of brokenness, repentance, and seeing our sin and worldliness for what it is. Surrender is absolute surrender. One day in 1863, General Ulysses Grant and Robert E. Lee were communicating through messengers. And Robert E. Lee asked Grant through a messenger, he said, "What are the terms of surrender in this Civil War?" And Grant came back and he said, "The terms of surrender are unconditional surrender. Unconditional surrender of arms. There will be no surrender without the unconditional surrender of arms." And today, there is no Christian life without the unconditional surrender to Jesus Christ. It's that simple. We must refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. We must choose affliction. We must choose to die to self. I am resolved no longer to linger. Let's pray.